Well, would you take your Bibles and we'll be here tonight and back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. We've been going through Wednesday nights the book of Proverbs and titled it Walking in Wisdom and Attaining to Wisdom. I found a little article in this book I've been skimming through. I found it's pretty interesting, but let me read this to you. This is such the world for us tonight. Listen to this and what he says here. You are a descendant of a tiny cell of primordial protoplasm that washed upon an ocean beach 3.5 billion years ago. You're the product of time, chance, and natural forces. You're the closest living, your closest living relatives swing from trees and eat crackers at the zoo. You exist on a tiny planet in a minuscule solar system in an obscure galaxy in a remote corner of a vast, cold, and meaningless universe. You are flying through space with no purpose, no direction, no control, and no destiny. Your final outcome? Destruction. All you are is a bunch of chemicals, and once you die, you will cease to exist. In summary, you came from nothing, you are not going nowhere, and your body will end up beneath 6 feet of dirt where it will become food for bacteria and worms. Now, don't you feel special? Isn't that the world? How many grew up learning about evolution in school? I think everyone in here, yeah. Isn't that funny? How sad is that? Isn't it sad? And people all across our world, and I've been thinking about the United Kingdom is so dark, you know, once was a herald of the truth and yet so dark today in many ways, but so thankful for those that are over there preaching the gospel. But so many people are just pushing that, especially on our kids in the public school system and in other areas. And I'm so thankful for Christians that stand up for the truth in those arenas, in those ways. But how sad is that, right? You came from nowhere and you have no destiny and the end outcome of it all is destruction. You're going to die. And just sad. I'm so thankful that we know God tonight. We have the Bible and we do know where we're going. And so anyways, I read that today and hope that was an encouragement to you. Proverbs chapter 9, let me jump here and we'll jump into this here rather quickly. Proverbs 9, as you know, notice he says, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens, she crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Do you see tonight that God wants us to have wisdom? He says, I've prepared everything for you to receive wisdom. Wisdom. So we looked at this, and we have been the last about a month or so, 4 or 6 weeks back, walking in wisdom and what wisdom is. Now we get to the New Testament and listen to Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. To answer every man, as so many of you have already stated, trying to reach people with the gospel and other things, we need to walk in wisdom. We need to have wisdom. Now, again, we've already defined wisdom, but let me do it again. Wisdom, the dictionary states it as accumulated philosophic or scientific learning. It's knowledge, ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. It's insight, it's good sense, it's judgment. For us, though, it's how to correctly use knowledge. That's the biblical terminology. Wisdom is how to correctly use and apply knowledge. Now, what's our primary source of knowledge? We already said this and you know this, but it's the Bible. The Bible is our primary source of knowledge for the Christian, for the believer. Now, outside of the Bible, obviously, there's other sources of knowledge that we want to say we could add to, but the primary source is the Word of God. So God says, I want to add to your life wisdom, and you ought to be prepared for that. I've already prepared for you to receive it. Now you ought to turn and apply it. Now we're created in God's image, you know that. Because of this, we can understand who He is. We can relate to Him personally. We can discover what He wants to do in our lives. And again, can I encourage you with that? God desires for you to know His will more than even we want it. Isn't that true? And we know that He desires for us to live in His perfect will. Now, how do I obtain that, you say, Brother Tim? Well, you ask. Number one, Lord, what is Your will? Number two, obviously, is this Word, is the Bible. Following, we'll look at that in just a minute. But the only way we can experience all of this is by following His plan. This is where we find a meaningful sense of purpose for our lives and avoid wasting our lives. We don't want to waste it. Now, some people have wisdom, and you know that. Some of you, you work with people that have, I mean, amazing wisdom, probably. You work with people that have just astounding wisdom in certain areas and certain fields. But there's something special about a biblical wisdom of a human being, what they have. How do we attain and get this wisdom? Now, several weeks ago, we talked about this already. But God's wisdom is available to all of us. But it is not something we stumble into or acquire automatically, is it? We don't just stumble into wisdom. We have to attain. We see that throughout. Now, notice chapter 8 and verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? Question mark. And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the path. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming into the doors. Do you notice that? She's crying out, hey, I'm over here. Hey, I'm right here. If you want it, take it. But again, listen, it will not just, we won't just stumble into it. It must be sought out. It must be pursued. God requires certain things of us in order to receive it. Now again, come back to the gospel. The gospel is not just handed over to us. Again, we know that. We don't just wake up one morning saved. What do? We have to take the necessary steps to accept it and acknowledge our sin and da-da-da-da-da down the line. So we understand that. We don't just stumble into it. We must understand that God desires for us to obtain wisdom. Now, several things here tonight. I must hasten through this introductory point here, but several things about this. Number one, we must show reverence toward Him. How do we obtain this wisdom? Showing reverence toward Him. Now, notice verse 10 in chapter 9 again. Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You know this as well as I do. When you got saved, one of the first things that came to your mind, excuse me, was the fear of the Lord, wasn't it? You thought about, good night. I don't want to, for me, I thought, I do not want to go to hell. I mean, that's the crux of it, isn't it? I don't want to go to hell. I fear God. When you read in the New Testament that God has power to cast into hell, Jesus says, fear, don't fear man, fear Him who has power to cast you into hell. That's God Almighty. So the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. You stop and you say, God, I desire to know Your will, but Lord, I understand that You have the power over all things. You have power to give life and You have power to take life. And beyond this physical life, You have power to then cast out into eternal darkness or give life everlasting. You know that. So understanding here begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear. Do you have the fear of the Lord? Now again, fear does not mean we're cowering and hiding from God. He's going to strike us down if we make one little mistake. Right? No. What happens? I holy reverence for God. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because I love God. I don't want the judgment of God on my life. I don't want to be have the chastening hand of God on my life. I don't want that. I want to be in good standing with God. Do you have the fear of God tonight in your life? Secondly, we must have an attitude of humility. Attitude of humility. Let me read to you Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. But before honor is humility. We must have an attitude of humility. In saying, as in essence, Lord, I need and desire Your wisdom, although I may have intellectualism, although I may have a high education, although I may have whatever the case is, I know I need Your wisdom to do anything for You. I need to understand what You want me to do. And there is a vast difference today between intellectualism and God's wisdom. We need to know what God wants for us. The wisdom of the world, the Bible says, leads to destruction. The wisdom of the world. The wisdom from God gives life. So we see here an attitude of humility. coming before God and say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. I don't know everything. We must thirdly have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Now notice verse 9 here in chapter 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. I'm going to shock some of you tonight. You may be shocked, okay? But you don't know everything. I know that's hard to handle and take. You don't know, I don't know everything. We think we do, right? We must have a teachable spirit. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Among the wise. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. In thy latter end. Have you ever known an older person, elderly person? They have zero wisdom. You know, I've met a guy before like that. He had zero wisdom. And I felt bad because I was actually helping him, you know, some biblical things. I was actually, and I felt, shouldn't you be teaching me or helping me, you know? And that's so true. We must come to God and say, God, I desire your wisdom, humility, reverence, teachable spirit. We must be diligent in our pursuit of wisdom. Now, Proverbs 2, verse 4 and 5, notice, listen, it says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We must have a diligent pursuit of wisdom. God, I want to do that. Do you know how easy it is to obtain the wisdom of God? Read this book. Isn't it as simple as that? Read this book. Take time to read this book. Memorize, study, pray and seek. God, I want that wisdom. It's amazing to me that Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, wrote about wisdom, and yet he didn't apply it to his own life, did he? Wisdom, if we'll follow through, we must walk diligently. Again, diligently. We must believe in God. I have several verses I won't read here. We'll jump ahead. He says in James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Are you asking God for wisdom? I've done this many times. I know you have too. In the heat of a moment, what do you do? Oh, God, give me wisdom. Or somebody asks you a question. Somebody will ask me a question. Brother Tim, I have a spiritual question. And I always go, oh, give me wisdom, Lord, what to say. I don't know what to say. Help me, Lord. Give me your direction. If we ask God, he'll give it to us. So we see here, as we begin, that there is an opportunity to walk in wisdom if we'll take it. We have to apply it. So first here, we are instructed to walk in wisdom. That's pretty clear. There's an instruction to it. Now, Ephesians 5, we won't turn there because we've read it already. But listen again. He says, chapter 5, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wise. Be not unwise, he says later, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, how do we do this? It's a matter of making wise decisions for each step that we take. We take many decisions or make many decisions during our lifetime. These decisions, listen to this, determine whether we live wisely or foolishly. If we base our decisions solely on our own reasoning, our own feelings, our own desires, or even other people's advice, we live foolishly. We're ignoring God, who's the only source of true wisdom. Are we following God and listening to Him? Many people will try and push you to make a decision, don't they? Or push you to obtain worldly wisdom. If we come to God, He's our only source of true wisdom. We're instructed. Number two, though, we need to plan for making wise decisions. Now listen to Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Notice that. He shall teach in the way he shall choose. A key to making wise decisions is found in this verse. You may have heard this quote before, but a wish without a plan is just a dream, isn't it? Oh, you say this all the time, like me. Oh, I wish I could know more of the Bible, but I have no plan to know more of the Bible, so it's just a dream. I wish I had more money, but I have no plan. Don't say anything. I wish I had, it's just a dream. We have to make a plan. So we need to plan on making wise decisions. How do we do so? You guys see me turn my page. It's a three-pager. Don't get nervous, okay? You all went, oh, no. Okay, we're going to get through as far as we can tonight. We need a plan to make wise choices. We need to rely on a plan, again, based on God's Word. You know these things. Now, following several steps that I have here, I want you to notice. First of all, we need to clear your heart of any known sin. to follow the steps. How do I know God's plan? To applying wisdom, to obtain wisdom. Now, sin always brings confusion to our minds, and it hinders us from receiving God's direction. Confuses us. I know that all of us have been there before. When you're involved in some kind of sin, you're confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Maybe I should do this. You make bad decisions. It hinders us from receiving God's direction. Before we can hear from the Lord, and more importantly, before the Lord will hear us, we must clear out anything in our lives that clouds our thinking or blocks His guidance. Now, again, listen to Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. Not hear me. He just won't. It's pretty clear in Scripture. This is something we must all consistently keep up with. Clear your heart. Number one under this, ask the Lord to show you anything that's sinful in your life. That's so hard to do often. But we need to do it. Psalm 139, you know verse 23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. What could it be for you? Habit? Thought pattern? Anything contrary to God's will? The Holy Spirit will be faithful to point out whatever needs to be addressed. I love that quote. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to point out whatever needs to be addressed. And the Holy Spirit's so sweet and kind to do that, isn't He? Just kindly point things out to us. But show you anything sinful in your life. Oh, how that could be. A habit, you know, we think about that. Habit's just not smoking, drinking, and other things. A habit is that's many, many things could be listed under habit, couldn't? Laziness, apathy, disregard for that which is holy, not following through with what you know you should do, on and on. And we know all those things. But for wisdom, are we obtaining to that? Notice verse 6 in our text, forsake the foolish, live, go in the way of understanding. You remember what he says earlier? He says, I looked out my window and I saw a young man. And what did he say? He said he went down and saw the foolishness of him. He got involved with a woman of the night. You know, he got involved in those things, all the sinful behavior. He's a fool, the Bible says. And so thinking, here he says, forsake the foolish, live. Now, that has to do with our friendships. I want to encourage you with that again. You have coworkers or friends that are what the Bible calls foolish people. You should avoid those people. Get away from them. You have to work with them or something maybe, but you need to avoid any kind of relational things with them. Don't joke with them. Don't be buddy buddies with them. They'll think you're stuck up and higher than holier than thou and a Bible thumper. That's okay. Let them think that. You need to forsake those foolish and get with the wise people. And that's what I love about the local New Testament church. Confess the sin and forsake it. You know that. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I fail in this often because I say, oh God, forgive me. I did wrong. Forgive me. Help me. What do? I go back the next week and do the same sin. I will not find mercy in that. You know? It's like banging your head against the wall. Oh, that hurt. Forgive me. But you do it again and again and again. You're not going to find good results with that. You think through, though, we got to forsake it. Get away from it. Because it's all just talk, isn't it? God says, I don't want to hear your talk. It's nonsense. You don't mean it. You don't mean to forsake that. You don't mean to stop that. The proof is in the pudding, isn't it? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me hurry here. I'll get through a few more points. We'll be done. Letter B, though, align your desires to what God wants. Again, talking about wisdom. Do you want wisdom, obtaining wisdom? This can be a real battle when we desire for a particular course of action. We're desiring to go a certain way. We have to come back and align our desires to what God wants. To receive God's guidance, we must be willing to yield our preferences to Him. Say, God, I want to know what You want me to do. You remember Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter number 9. The bright light shines down. He asks two questions. Number one, who art thou, Lord? Number two is what? What do You want me to do? Simple as that. What do You want me to do? And the Lord says, well, I'm not going to tell you now. The Lord says, no, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to get up and go into the city. He's like, okay. Lord, You don't want me to write over half the New Testament? You don't want to be the greatest missionary to ever live? He didn't tell him any of that, did he? Get up and go into the city. God gives us only so much at that time as that we can handle. Isn't that wonderful of God? God says, get up and go. Okay, Lord, I don't know what to do. How are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for this? How's it going to all work out? God says, why don't you just be quiet and get up and read your Bible tomorrow morning? You'll be fine. Okay, just step by step. And we align our desires to what God wants for us. I want to know what you want me to do. God hears this kind of a prayer, and we can trust Him to guide us if we keep coming back to Him. Now again, God is never neutral. There's no neutrality with Christ. You know that. He either says, get wisdom or remain foolish. There's no neutrality. The cross is a fork in the road. You go this way or that way. Broad is the way, leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. The Lord helps us when we make Him our delight. Now again, Psalm 37, verse 4, a good verse for us to memorize. But it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight. Delighting ourselves in God. He gives us what we desire. Again, our desires become His desires. Thinking through this. And let me wrap it up here. Letter C. We need to then wait on the Lord. Sometimes we have to pray for a long time before God gives us an answer. Waiting on God. That's the hardest part, isn't it, in the Christian life? Just waiting. Waiting. Trusting God. Lord, I want it, and I want it now, right? He says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock shall be opened unto you. But He doesn't say we will get an immediate response, right? I wonder sometimes, God, why don't you answer my prayers? And He says, well, I'm waiting. I'm aligning you. I'm positioning you for something better. And sometimes even God doesn't have to give us an answer, does He? God can do whatever He wants to do. It's God's prerogative. We must remember that He's God and we're the clay. He's the potter. We're the clay. And I've had prayers before and asked God questions before, Lord, why this or that? He didn't answer me. And God can do whatever He wants to do. So God may not answer you, but know this, He has your best intentions in mind. He will bless you. He's caring for you. We must be willing to wait for His timing, right? Waiting upon God means we live in confident expectation of His actions on our behalf and refuse to run ahead of Him to try and solve our problems on our own. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. My soul waiteth. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Psalm 62:5. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. On and on, I have many verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and so are his stops. I like that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and so are his stops, or his stop signs. Stop. Okay. We can trust that He has good reasons for delays. Okay. So, knowing this, trusting Him, being persistent in prayer, being alert to the pressure around us and other things and knowing these things. And so, are you walking in wisdom? Do you desire wisdom? Rest in God's promises. Wait for His peace. Acknowledge God for who He is. And we'll cover these topics here next week. But thinking through this, are you waiting on Him? One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, and I'll close with this, Proverbs 3, 5 and 8. You know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not, here it is, wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So we're trusting Him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own understanding. But be wise in God. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her pillars. She's done all of it. She's furnished it. It's ready to go. What you have to do is just move in. Just get ready and move in, right? Amen. All right. Are you walking in wisdom tonight? I hope that was an encouragement to you. We'll cover more of this next week as we go through the book of Proverbs. But thinking through, God, I desire your wisdom. I want to know that so that I could be the right witness and testimony for you. All right. Let's pray there. Lord, thank you for an opportunity again to share your word. As we go through the book of Proverbs and think about, Lord, walking in wisdom, we want your wisdom. We can't do anything without you, Lord. We are destitute. We are utterly dependent upon you, upon the Holy Spirit. We're asking that you'd guide us, as you said in Colossians 4, that we'd walk in wisdom towards them that are without. We'd be able to answer every man, have that wisdom, not for ourselves, not to boast in us, but, Lord, to bring glory to you and see others saved. We love and thank you, Father. Be with us this week and bring us back Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.